Blog Talk Radio.
Is your business protected against the threat of malicious litigation and frivolous lawsuits? Are you sinking company profits into marketing campaigns that do nothing to contribute to the growth of your business? Bottled Business Sense provides practical business perspectives that uniquely emphasize both legal and media marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. And whether you're trying to provide a startup business with some level of stability, or an established business with foolproof asset and estate protection, or simply attempting to get a better return for your business marketing dollars, Bill Bernard and Rick Muscoso will expose potential pitfalls to ensure the security and growth of your business, free from unwanted expense and the threat of litigation. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection tools equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Let's join Bill and Rick for today's Bottled Business Sense Show.
Well, good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday at 10 a.m. here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. I'm Rick Muscoso, one of your co-hosts this morning, and welcome back to the program. For those of you who have never seen this show before, welcome. This is a simulcast show that we do every week, every Tuesday at 10 a.m., and we are a legal and business and marketing best practices program that we, Bill and I, share knowledge base that we've accumulated over the year, and hopefully share this with you for free because we're passionate about it and we love to contribute to the success of your business, how to run it efficiently, profitably, safely, so you can set out to do what you've actually set out to do, and that's to make money and have fun at what you're doing. So you can reach us at any of the information that we've listed below this video, and a number of programs that we've done in the past have been contributed, at least topics have been contributed by our viewership out there. So if you would love to hear about a specific topic in a marketing or business or legal, as far as running your business efficiently, then go ahead and drop us a line at bottledbusinesssenseshow@gmail.com or reach out to us on any of the social media links here on the site. So with that, I'm going to bring on my other co-host here, Mr. Bill Bernard. How are you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing great. Doing just great, Rick. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. You know, from a legal perspective, as we've talked about before, Rick, we try to give our business owners a clear picture of three areas of business law, and that's the estate planning portion of it for the family, the asset protection portion of it for the business itself, and, of course, the employment law aspect of it for businesses that have to take on employees. And that's what we try to provide, and that's what we take pleasure in providing. And as Rick said, we do it for free. So feel free to download this, listen to it in your car, or listen to it in your leisure time, whenever it's convenient for you, and take advantage of the information and apply it to your particular circumstances. You know, we've talked about LLCs many times in the past on the show. And some of the questions that I've been getting recently are, you know, I've got some problems within the LLC. How do I remove a member from an LLC? How do I actually get this person out? In fact, I just had a situation like this with a client not more than a week and a half ago, where we went through the entire process because they had somewhat of an ambiguous arrangement, that is an agreement that was in place that really wasn't very specific. So we had to work through a number of things. So I thought I'd provide, and I don't know, maybe your five or so easy steps, what you can do if you have an LLC and how you can manage to extricate a member from that LLC if it's a problem for the rest of the members. And again, we're talking about a multi-member LLC here. Obviously, if you're a single member LLC, this doesn't really come into play. But the best way to start would be from the beginning. Determine if there's a procedure for involuntarily withdrawing members that's within the articles of organization or the operating agreement. So here's what I mean by that. When you file for your LLC, you have to file articles of organization. most oftentimes I don't place in those articles membership withdrawal, because that I address in the articles of organization, the operating agreement, which is more detailed. But you can, if you choose to do so. I think it's somewhat awkward, because I'm a big proponent of operating agreements as a separate vehicle to spell out these things, because you're going to need to spell out a lot of other things. You might as well do it in a separate agreement by way of an operating agreement. You want your articles of organization to be compact, and the more information you put in there, the more tedious it becomes, in my humble opinion. So remember, an operating agreement is a written contract that sets forth procedures to govern the LLC. So obviously, this is a place where you can address many issues, Rick. And one of the issues that you're going to address is, hey, if we've got a problem and we need to get rid of or fire, essentially, an LLC member, how do we do it? So the first thing you want to do is look to the operating agreement. And the second step would be to utilize the voting procedure contained in the articles of organization, as I said, or the operating agreement, which I prefer, because if there's a procedure for forcing LLC members to withdraw, this procedure can be followed. Otherwise, you have to resort to court action. So place the withdrawal methods in the operating agreement, number one, and then follow whatever procedure or voting procedure you have to vote out a member in step two. That's the two critical beginning stages. And again, if you don't have this, then you're going to have to go to court, and you're going to have to petition the court, because you're going to have a problem on your hands if a member decides he doesn't want to withdraw.
Now, wouldn't it be good practical operating procedure when you do write up the LLC or the corporation that you have these procedures in place?
In the operating agreement, you mean, like I mentioned? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Why would a good business attorney not do that?
Well, no, the question isn't why would a good business attorney not do it, because a good business attorney would do it. The question is, why would somebody go online and set these things up and pay less money and not have an attorney's advice, and then, of course, not have an operating agreement? That's the real question. And, we have many DIY people out there today. And I don't want to insult do-it-yourself people. There are plenty of them out there who realize what they need and what they want to do, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't have the advice of counsel at any time. It just means that there's some good DIY people out there, and there's the ones that aren't so good. And if they try to shortcut this, Rick, there may not be the proper allocation of space within the operating agreement to address these withdrawal issues. Now, I guess your original question, there could be some attorneys out there who fail to include this. And I think that's very egregious, but they're not good business attorneys, like you first asked. They're probably not top-notch lawyers if they're going to leave this kind of stuff out. And, you know, that brings up another point, which I was going to mention, and that would be, why don't you submit an offer to have this member resign? You can do that, whether you have provisions in the operating agreement for withdrawal or even if you don't. But the one critical thing you must remember, folks, when you do that, when you make an offer to have them resign voluntarily, or where you vote them out, under any circumstances, that person is entitled to a share of the profits that represent his asset value within the LLC. You can't just vote somebody out without settling up with him. That person, him or her, has to be offered their fair value share, their fair share. So what typically would happen, you know, if you don't have this in your agreement, or perhaps if you do and you want to shortcut any formal kind of action, you may say, for example, hey, Rick, I'm going to offer a buyout to you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay you your fair share in order to allow this to be a voluntary process. In other words, rather than voting you out or firing you, we're going to allow you to resign. And, you know, it makes it maybe less or more palatable, I should say, for certain members of LLCs, depending on what the nature of your relationship was. So that would be the way to do it. And remember, under any circumstance, you're going to have to pay this individual his financial share. The final way to do this, Rick, as I mentioned or touched upon earlier, is to petition the court for judicial dissolution of the LLC if a member is unwilling to withdraw and it's become impossible to deal with, because you may not have this provision in your operating agreement to vote him out, but even if you do, he may start causing problems and refuse to leave. Then you're going to have to petition the court. But more often than not, the petition for the court to come into play is where you don't have the proper provisions in your operating agreement to vote somebody out. They don't want to take a voluntary resignation. You have procedures in the operating agreement to vote them. Excuse me. You don't have procedures in the operating agreement to vote them out. Now those two things have failed. You need to go and petition the court. You must remember that oftentimes the court may say, hey, we're going to dissolve this LLC and wind it up. That means we're going to pay everybody what they're due in the LLC. And now the remaining members who still want to do business together, most often than not, will have to then form a new LLC and continue to conduct business under a new name. Now, or a variety of you know, a certain, using a similar name or whatever it might be that's available. But the point you must remember here is not to make any new contracts with any client or customer when you're in the midst of trying to settle this issue with the existing LLC member, most especially if you're in the middle of a court battle to dissolve the LLC. You don't want to create any new liabilities or anything like that on your behalf when things are up in the air like that. So that's essentially the way it needs to be handled. Remember that the ability to fire a member of an LLC depends on the operating agreement. It should provide a procedure in which to do so. Instead, an operating agreement may allow a member to be involuntarily removed only if another member buys out his interests in the business. And that's the combination here. The operating agreement allows for the procedure. That's what you want optimally. And then you want to have to remember, you want to have to remember to pay this member his fair share. Now, one quick note, in cases of misconduct, you may be able to seek assistance from the court in removing a member of an LLC, but generally only courts will interfere in situations where there's been a willful violation of an operating agreement and the member refuses to leave, or you don't have an operating agreement that provides for withdrawal, and then a court must get involved in those two circumstances. And the idea is here that courts don't want to interfere in LLC businesses or S corporation business. They don't want to do that unless they're forced to. So they urge you, as long as you're within the bounds of the statutes, you can create an operating agreement for your company that is very, very liberal in the sense that you can insert just about anything you need to put in there as long as it's within the bounds of the law. Courts don't want to get involved unless they absolutely have to. So I hope that's kind of made clear or driven home the point that an operating agreement is just so critical when you have a multi-member LLC.
Yeah. Well, this is great information, again, as to, like we talked about at the top of the show, how to protect your business correctly. And whether it's your existing business attorney or a guy like Bill, who is fabulous when it comes to setting up your entities, this is very important information. If you are a DIYer and you have questions on if you have protection like this, like Bill had mentioned, then I'm sure Bill would be happy to take a look at your documentation to review it and point you in the right direction. So his contact information is below, but what's the best way if someone wants to get a hold of you right away, Bill?
Just give me a call. If you want to email me, bill@wfblegalconsulting.com, that's fine, but just give me a call at either of my two business numbers. They're both 949 area code 1413-6535, and the second one is 698-6222. And, you know, I might add, Rick, for example, has a new LLC. He's a single member LLC. It's not absolutely critical in his situation to have an operating agreement, but when might it be critical? It might be critical to have, because he not only wants to be very strict in following the procedure and making it very clear to anybody who challenges that LLC that he has a formal entity and that his corporate shield, using the word corporate loosely, it's really LLC, his LLC shield cannot be penetrated. And should he decide to take on people in the future as additional members to the LLC, that operating agreement is done, it's completed and ready to go. So it benefits any future situation that he might want to encounter with new individuals. Mm-hmm. So again, think about these things, folks. This is serious business. When you're running a business, you want to make sure you're doing it right. You want to make sure you have these proper ingredients, if you will, in your company, and move forward so you can take care of your business while you're conducting your business in whatever profession, service or product oriented profession that you're involved in. So again, take a listen to this show in your convenience, and we hope it's been helpful. And Rick, I know that that since you got your LLC, you're a big proponent for following the rules. So I'm sure you can attest to the fact that once you make this step and you decide to do this, you might as well do it right, or it's not worth doing at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So if you need any more details regarding this, then reach out to Bill. We also have other episodes here on the website in regards to the benefits of enticizing. And it's actually one of our very first episodes that we did a couple of years ago. So take a look at that. Very, very important and critical information. If you aren't enticized, and if you are, then make sure you do it the right way. Contact a guy like Bill and get set up correctly. So with that, great episode, Bill. I'm Rick Moscoso, and on behalf of the Bottle Business Sense Show, thanks for joining us today. We will see you again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Right here, same channel, same time, same place.
Take care, everybody. Have a great week.